On December the 26th, 2004, more than 230,000 people lost their lives in the deadliest tsunami in history, and I think some of us remember that. At that time, people were asking questions. Where was God? Could God have stopped it or prevented it? If so, why didn't he do so? I remember watching on TV one Hindu woman, a mother who had lost her husband and a family. She was asked the same question, where was God? And she said, God is there. It's just that I don't trust him. And then she goes on to say, I hate him. Around the world, God is being blamed for most problems, that it is either God's neglect or carelessness, that God didn't do anything, or that God forgot. And people cry out, where was God when I needed him? Where was God when I was abused as a child? Where was God when all these things were happening? Where is God in Gaza today? Why does he allow natural disasters? So if God can stop it, why can't he do so? And you not stop all the violence, the death, and the suffering? And these are the questions that people ask. And I hope today we will have some inkling or some understanding of how we can answer some of these questions that tend to malign at the character of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before thee this wonderful morning, Sabbath morning. We want to thank you for your grace and mercy. We now ask that the Spirit which inspired the word will now become the Spirit which instructs the word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
The title of our discussion
and
this morning is entitled In the Beginning. In the Beginning. Now I'm going to tell you a story, and I hope at the end of this story you will understand why there is pain, sorrow, death, and most importantly, why God has done what he has done, and why God has not done the things you think he should do. So these are the questions that people have, and God is always blamed. So there's an issue here that God has a problem. What problem does God have? Well, it's a problem of sin and how to deal with sin and its total eradication. So God has to remove sin, and how does he do that? And that's the problem that God has to deal with. Well, I want you to think back way in the past, as far as your mind can reach. Before the universe was created, God existed. He's always existed. And one of the names of God, whom we should know as Adventists, is Yahweh. Yahweh means that he is the self-existent one. God has always existed, and he will always exist. He said in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none other apart from me. There is no other God. So the Bible also then declares that God exists in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Each of them God, but yet we say there is one God. And the other name for God, as we know, is Elohim, which means it's the plural name of God, which means the Godhead. So, way in the past, before there was a universe, God existed. God existed as the Godhead. And back then in the past, the Godhead decided to create. So they create the universe. Later on, they create angels. And angels, they come in different forms. We have the angels, we know you've got cherubs, and you've got cherubims, which is a plural name. You've got seraphims. You find this again in Isaiah. Some have six wings. And after God had created these creatures, these marvelous creatures called angels, he then creates humans. But again, before he created the planet Earth, he creates other worlds. And there are other people who live in other worlds, and the Bible is clear about that, and we'll discuss that later on. And then finally, he creates the planet Earth. Okay, and then obviously Adam and Eve were then placed therein. Now, as we know, when God created the world, he established laws to govern the physical universe, gravity, chemistry, physics, and in all the lower life forms. But he could have done that with the angels and men, but he did not do it. He could have made us so that we couldn't disobey his laws. Okay, but he didn't. Why? As we know, as good Adventists, the answer was that would not have been freedom. Because again, freedom, you must have the power to choose. Okay, so if God had made us with the laws that he'd given to gravity, chemistry, and physics, whereby these laws obey God continuously without thinking, then we would obey God without freedom. So what God wanted to give us was a powerful gift, and it's called the gift of freedom, as we know. So angels and men were moral agents. We call them free moral agents, able to make choices and decisions, or what we call a self-determining choice. You see, the central ingredient of intelligence is the power to make choice. So men and angels now have the capacity to say yes to God or no to him. Because when you are given choice, you become intelligent. Because intelligence, when you do a multiple test, a multiple choice test, what are you doing? You are choosing. You know, your teacher is checking you, you know, how capable you are by making choices. And again, the central ingredient of intelligence is the power to make choice. Okay, so by giving men and angels this choice, God took a risk, as we know, that both angels and men could take that free will and make a wrong choice. In this case, revolt against their maker and king. And this is what happened, as we know. So God says to the angels and men and the inhabitants of the other worlds that were in it, that are inhabited, I have given you existence. And also I've given you the power to choose to obey these laws that I have set. I will not interfere in your choice. If you choose to obey, you will live forever. But if you disobey, God says, I'm under no obligation to maintain your existence. This is the agreement that God made with Adam and Eve, and also with the unfallen worlds and the angels as well. Now, how did the revolt happen? We know all this. We discussed this, actually, it was in our quarterly, the previous quarter. In Ezekiel chapter 28 and in Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible tells us of a cherub who was close to the throne of God as anyone could be. There was no higher position. He decided, he is described in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah as having everything that an angel could have, or everything that a creature could have. Beauty, possession, power, and position. He had it all until sin was found in him. In actual fact, the reason why Isaiah and Ezekiel take some time to describe everything that Lucifer had is to show that he had everything that anyone could have, and there was no reason for the rebellion. There was no reason for sin. And actually, she says in Patriarchs and Prophets, you know, to explain the cause of sin or to give a reason for it. Sin is an intruder which cannot be explained. That is why we call it the mystery of iniquity, how a perfect creature sinned against his maker. Now, what did Lucifer want? In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, he says, How about fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Okay, and later on, if you read, the Bible says the reason why Lucifer fell, the Bible says, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven or into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Now, many years ago, some of you remember when Queen Elizabeth II was alive and Prince Philip, when they were together, years ago, at certain state functions, even in Parliament, but not recently, obviously, but in the past, when the Queen sat on the throne, the question is, who sat next to her? And the assumption is, well, Philip sat next to her. No, nobody sat next to her. Back then, when the Queen sat on the throne, Philip was there, but Philip would stand. Now, Prince Philip was her husband, but he did not sit down when the Queen sat. He stood on his side. And the reason why Philip stood and did not sit, the reason was he was not her equal. If he was the king, he would sit. But Philip was not the king. He was called the queen's consort, as you know. And the queen had constitutional powers. She was the head of state. She was the head of the armed forces. When prime ministers come into power, when they leave power, they go to the queen. So she has constitutional powers. And when she gives the queen's speech, she says, my government. So therefore, the queen would not say, me and Philip. No, she says, my government. Why? Because they were not equal. Now, with that example, what exactly did Lucifer want? Well, verse 13 tells you that. He wanted to sit also. He wanted to sit on the throne. Where? He wanted to go throne. He says, I will sit on.
He hasn't returned back as yet.
Can you hear me?
He's back now.
Yes, we can hear you, Elder Kabambe.
Recording in progress.
I'm not sure what happened. So God must have explained to him that you cannot sit because you are not my equal. I made you. It is obvious the lesser is made by the greater. You see, the foundational impulse of sin is to topple God from his throne. What Lucifer wanted was to topple God from his throne. He wanted to be recognized as a God. And God, by virtue, sits on the throne as creator and sustainer of the universe. So God, capitulating to Lucifer's demands and allow Lucifer to sit on the throne, I personally believe God further explained to Lucifer that he cannot compromise. Not only this, but he is right to sit on the throne because he is the creator. And if God allowed Lucifer to sit on the throne, I believe again that everything will cease to exist. Because the Bible tells us that God is not only the provider, but he is a sustainer. And he is the one who sustains life. And the Bible tells us in him, we live, we move, and have our being. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, all things animate and inanimate, they are controlled by him. By him, all things consist. So Lucifer could not sit on the throne because God, by being the But being the creator, by virtue of him being the creator, he sits on the throne, he sustains all things. So God allowing Lucifer to sit on the throne was impossible. And you were told the heavenly councils pleaded with Lucifer and told him that in departing from God's established order, he will dishonor his maker and bring ruin upon himself. But we're told that the warning given in infinite love and mercy only aroused the spirit of resistance. Leaving his place in the immediate presence of God, Lucifer went to diffuse the spirit of discontent among the angels. Lucifer accuses God of using his claim of being the source and standard of life to control them. God is a dictator. God is an autocrat, and he will not compromise. God has asked me to humble myself. You tell me one time when God has humbled himself. The angels listen and say, I never thought of this way. Now, Satan says again, I'm proposing to change this and that. I have a plan. And God says, you cannot carry out your plan. You name me one plan of God that he hasn't carried forth. The angels listen, say, yeah, God has always had his way. God has always carried out his plans. So these questions concerning the character of God were now exciting disaffection and aggravating the minds of the angels. What then happens? Now there was open revolt. God says he's loving. He is not loving at all. He is selfish as he can be. He wants everything his own way. He won't give up an inch. He says no, and that's it. God is manipulating us. God is using us. We've got to break free from this tyranny and these lies and experience autonomy. So these were now the accusations of Lucifer. Well, you ask me this afternoon, who could have believed that before loving God? Well, the Bible tells us one third of the angels believed that. Lucifer had now created a perfect deception. Okay? He had now turned the issues from himself onto God. Today, we call this projection. So projection is a defense mechanism where individuals attribute their own unacceptable thoughts and feelings and motives onto other people. They have the problem, but they want to try and project that problem to you so that you are the one who appears to have the problem when they are the ones who have the issue. So now Satan, it was now no longer Satan or Lucifer who was on trial, but it was now God on trial. Now the whole universe was now questioning God. Could God be trusted or not? Now there was a cloud hanging over the character of God. And that is the question today in our lives. Can God be trusted? Now, you had now the angels in confusion concerning the character of God. One third had already followed Satan, Lucifer. And then you got the other unfallen worlds which were created, because Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 tells us God, who at sundry times spoke to us through the fathers, has spoken unto us through his Son, by whom he made also the worlds. That word, the worlds, in Greek, it means inhabited planets. Some of us have a narrow conception that Earth is the only planet that God has made. No, there are other worlds that God has made. So now, The angels were now questioning God's character. The other unfallen worlds were now questioning God's character. So God had this cloud hanging over him over this question. And again, God had to deal with this issue very carefully. So God had a problem, as I said at the beginning. He had a revolt of the angels, number one. And number two, he had the universe which needed to understand, are these charges by Lucifer true? Number three, you now had Adam and Eve on planet Earth. So God had all three problems going on at the same time. And again, it was around this time, after this rebellion, just before Lucifer was cast out, that Lucifer became Satan. When he had cast off his full allegiance against God, when he had cast off his allegiance to God, he now becomes Satan, no longer Lucifer, but Satan himself. Now, as we know, God had three solutions. Well, what solutions did God have? Solution number one, he could have said, let me destroy Lucifer instantly. And he could have done that. Did he have the power to do so? Yes, he had the power to do that. Okay, but we know he didn't do that because we understand, as good Adventists, God would not have done that. God could do that, but he did not do it. Why? Because there will be fear which will come upon the angels and the inhabitants' world. And again, this would have created sympathy for Satan, for Lucifer, that Lucifer was unjustly dealt with. Okay? So again, God could not take that risk. Because again, there will be a danger that sometime in the future, if God had destroyed Lucifer at the beginning, okay, there could be a danger that in the future, that some people will say, you know, Lucifer could have been right, you know, but God didn't give him a chance to carry out his plans. So God could not have, you know, God could have done that, but God could not have risked this thing happening whereby God's character will be questioned throughout eternal ages whether Lucifer had a point or not. So number one, God's solution, number one of three solutions that God had, he did not pursue solution number one. Number two, God could have said to Lucifer and his angels, since this thing is the first time that has happened, this is new to you, and it's all new to you, you know, you had nothing to compare it with, let bygones be bygones, you know, let's turn on a new page, let's forget about the whole thing, I forgive you. Would that have worked? No. Why? Because the seeds of rebellion in Satan and his angels were deep. It only be a matter of time before another rebellion took place. Or even worse, another group of angels would then start a rebellion and say, well, God forgave Lucifer that time, surely you will forgive us as well. So again, God will forgive us just as he forgave Lucifer. So solution number two, God did not pursue that answer. But God had a third option. And this is option two. You see, God, the Godhead, he had been eternally preparing for this situation. Sometime back in the eternal past, there was a conversation, a discussion between the Godhead. The Bible calls it a secret agreement that in the event of a revolt, Christ would come to die for men. And Christ would then reconcile heaven and earth. This was called God's eternal plan. And we call it the plan of redemption. It was a secret. It was kept secret until it was needed. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says it was promised before the world began. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, he says, the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And we know in chapter 13, verse 8 of Revelation, that Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. This was the plan of salvation. That is why we say the cross of Christ is as old as the universe. And some people even go on to say Christ died before he came, before the foundation of the world. Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, meaning that Christ, the Godhead, had sat down and made a plan that should the revolt happen, we have a plan. And this is option number three that God pursued. So Satan and his angels were cast out to the earth. And we read that in chapter 12, verse 7 to 9, the scripture reading we had. Adam and Eve, though warned about the rebellion in heaven, chose to believe Satan than God. Man, too, had fallen and sin, like a Pandora's box, like a virus, spread throughout and touched and infected all things animate and inanimate. So when Adam and Eve sinned, sin just spread throughout the whole world. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, today, brothers and sisters, we have death. That is why we have violence. That is why we have riots that are happening around the world. That is why we have wars and crime and all kinds of evil. This is the government or the world that Satan offered our first parent. And he said to them, you shall not surely die. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And now today, we experience the evil that is upon. And this is important. Even after the fall, God allowed Satan to develop the principles of his government and to demonstrate the character, his character. He had to let rebellion go on. Stopping it too soon would only cause more problems. So when the sin problem came, God bore long. It was going to take time and patience on God's part. There was going to be a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, a lot of death, and it would take thousands of years. So God had to deal with this issue, and it would take time. In endocrinology, we have certain tumors called endocrine tumors. There are different types of tumors, pituitary tumors and endocrine tumors. Some tumors which happen, especially in the gut, they are quite tricky. And also, we have a condition called Cushing's disease and other conditions, but that's not a tumor. So some of these tumors, when a patient goes to the GP and they have symptoms, they're then referred to endocrinology. We then see them, we then take their history, we then do some tests, we do urine tests, we do certain blood tests, we then also give them urine containers to take their urine over 24 hours, we then send them for imaging, we then send them for scanning, MRI, sometimes we do what are called PET scans. And then all this time, you know, we still don't treat the patient. And then what we do is then we then, you know, try and get the tissue type. And also we do what is called staging to see what type of cancer it is. We look at the structure, is it fast growing, is it not, is it localized? And you've got a group of people working to try and sort out this problem. So you've got endocrinologists, you've got gastroenterologists, you've got what you call histopathologists, you've got radiology working, you've got all these different groups of people working on this type of tumor. So basically, why this is important is that with these cancers, we've got to take our time. Because if we don't take our time, if we rush and operate on these patients, the problem is that the cancer, some of these cancers are quite tricky. We think you've gotten rid of the problem, only to discover after the operation, the symptoms still persist. And some of these cancers, they're quite tricky in the sense that there's a problem in the gut here, but the primary source is somewhere else. We call them ectopics. So therefore, if you rush to operate, there is a problem that you will think you've sorted out the problem when you haven't. So we take our time. We are not rushed, okay, because we need to make sure that the problem has been identified and the issue, we'll find out where the issue is before we operate. So God had this problem and he could not be rushed. So even though there was sin and sin is happening for a thousand of years, God was taking his time, and God is taking his time. Because you see, evil must be permitted to come to maturity for the good of the entire universe. Through the ceaseless ages, Satan must fully develop his principles that the charges against the divine government might be seen in its true light by all beings, so that God's character can be vindicated beyond all question. So Satan must be allowed to demonstrate the nature of sin. And this is what is happening today. You ask me, where was God when I was abused? Where is God when there's so much heartache and pain? Where is God when my father and mother were murdered? Where was God? Where is God? Why is God allowing this to happen? Well, it is the issue concerning the great controversy. Sin has to be allowed to mature. Satan's government has to be exposed for the kind of government it is. Until fully developed, sin would not appear the evil thing it is. So Satan's rebellion was to be a lesson to the universe through the coming ages. This terrible experiment of rebellion was to be a perpetual safeguard to the beings, to all human beings. And this lesson, we are getting the message. And the world is getting the message about the nature of Satan's government. Why does God take his time? Because the Bible tells us in Nahum chapter 1, verse 9, that iniquity, affliction shall not rise the second time. So therefore, God has to be careful to make sure, because when the earth is made new, the question is, will we still have the freedom of choice? Yes, we will have the freedom of choice. And the question is, if we have the freedom of choice, is there a risk that we will then have this sin issue again? Because God has to sort this thing out properly. Because again, if he gives us the freedom of choice in the earth made new, freedom of choice means that we can still choose not to worship God. We can still choose to make the wrong decision. So for God to make sure that the universe is secure, he needs to make sure that this sin problem is solved, so that iniquity will not rise the second time. Because when the earth has been made new, we will still have the freedom of choice. But then the question is, if we have the freedom of choice, is it possible for us to sin? Yes, it will be. But will we sin? No. Because why? We would have seen the nature of Satan's government. And that is the question, because again, in the earth made new, if we don't have freedom of choice, then it defeats the whole purpose, because God wants us to worship him out of freedom of choice. Now, as we get ready to close, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible tells us, when the fullness of time came, God sent his son. Christ was born of a virgin, and Christ came, and we call him the God-man. The universe see the principles of God's government demonstrated in Christ, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. The universe see how Satan and his angels oppose him each step of the way. The universe see how Christ is condemned, how Christ is taken before Annas and Caiaphas and before Pilate and before Herod. The universe see the priests whip up the crowd and they cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." The universe see him whipped and carry the cross to Calvary. The universe see him stumble and fall. The universe see the nails being driven on his body. The universe see the cross lifted in the universe, here the cross dropped down in that hole with a thud. And the universe are seeing this, and as the universe is seeing this, they could not believe what they were seeing. The wrong man is dying, and they see the nature of Satan's government. Okay, they see the cross lifted up. Okay, they see Christ cry, my Father, why have you forsaken me? And Christ then dies. Now, what did the universe now say? What did the unfallen worlds now say? And this is what you find in the book, Desire of Ages. This act, this single act of Satan, you know, removed his sympathy from all the intelligences of heaven. And now the universe voted, they said, anyone that would do this to Christ deserves to die. Satan had gone too far. By one unjust act, he had amassed himself before the universe. He had torn away the last drop of sympathy. Okay? His administration was laid open before the heavenly universe. He had revealed himself as a murderer, one who would kill very God himself. That day, ladies and gentlemen, the whole universe was reconciled to God when Christ died. The whole universe on that day, by a free will, voted that God could destroy Satan because the wrong person had died. Again, it was now saved. It was now saved as far as the universe is concerned for God to destroy Lucifer, and the universe was still loving. But why wasn't Lucifer destroyed? Because you and I haven't made a choice. You see, God could bring this mess to an end. But the reason why he doesn't do that is because we haven't made a choice. The world hasn't made a choice. And this is why the sin problem is going on. But a time is coming when God himself shall bring this to an end. When every man and woman has made a choice, and probation shall close, then God will then make the final decision, and the universe would have been, the world would then be destroyed, and God will know that his creatures will still love him because they know the nature and character of his government. The devil has always objected and complained to God, and he said to God, you watch over those who do not deserve your protection. Let me have them. Give them to me. Get out of their lives. Let me have them. You love saint and sinner alike. At least get out of the lives of those who don't want you. This is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. When probation closes, at that time, the unwanted protection that God gives to those who serve him will be removed. Those who don't serve him will be removed. At that time, Satan is going to wake out his anger upon the inhabitants of the world. And this world, ladies and gentlemen, will become hell. You think you've seen hell yet? You ain't seen nothing yet. Then the world will understand the nature of Satan's government. You ask me what is the nature of Satan's government. You ask the boy who had an evil spirit in Mark chapter 9, verse 18. The Bible tells us, the father says, the demon controls my son, and oftentimes he gnashes, he foams in the teeth, and many times it will throw him into the water and into the fire to destroy him. That is the nature of Satan's government. You ask the man of Gadara, he tells you, he says, my name is Legion because there are thousands in me. That is the nature of Satan's government. You ask what has happened to the people in Bosnia, in Rwanda, in Congo, in Gaza, what is happening throughout the world. This is the nature of Satan's government. So therefore, God can sort out the sin problem, but he's going to do it methodically. And the time is coming to an end. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, there is pain, there is war, there is disease, there is violence, there is rape. Because this is the nature of Satan's government. Sin has to be seen for what it is. Even right now, there are people who worship Satan. People don't even believe that God even exists. So God has got to make sure that people get the lesson And now people are getting the lesson and they are learning. But for the majority, by the time they learn it, it will be too late, because probation would have closed. In conclusion, for those who accept the call of sermon and scripture, and for those who seek the Lord while he may be found, there is the protection. The Bible tells us, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great priest who stands for your people. So God will protect his people at that particular time. The God who cared for Elijah will not pass by one of his self-sacrificing children. And the Bible says, to him that walketh righteously is the promise made, his bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. The Lord will be your keeper, and he shall preserve you from all evil. We can trust his promises. Before I pray, when people ask you the question, why is there so much evil in the world? Without understanding the great controversy, it's very difficult to explain. But people need to understand that the sin proper cannot be rushed. Because if it is rushed, it's like people don't understand the full nature of sin. And because iniquity will not rise the second time, God has to make sure that he works on this thing and he does it correctly, so that there is no chance of iniquity coming back the second time. So therefore, God is telling us, he is showing us the nature of Satan's government. As far as the heavens are concerned, the universe, that's been sorted already. They understand the nature of Satan's government. They already made a choice. At the cross, they voted that it was not safe for God to destroy Lucifer, and they will still love him. But the reason why this thing is going on, the reason why the riots are going on, the reason why the murder is going on and the crime, is because we haven't made a choice. And some of us are still choosing whether to be in church, whether to be in the world, be a half and half. And this is what's delaying everything. But there's a time coming when God shall say it is enough. Everybody has made a choice. Probation will then close. Then Michael will come and get his people. May the Lord bless you as you spend the day together, as you worship him, as you meditate upon his word. And now we can understand why God has not done certain things you expect him to do, and why God has done certain things you don't want him to do. I think that makes sense, you know, because God is dealing with the same problem the only way he knows how, and that is the best way. May the Lord bless us. Let us pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We want to thank you for your love, and we want to thank you for speaking to us today. Lord, your character has been misaligned, and people blame you, you know, for the things that are happening. It's only when you understand the nature of the great controversy and the contending powers and the issues at stake will you be able to vindicate the character of God. I pray thee that we as your children will be able to tell the world that you are a loving God, you are a loving creator, and be able to explain to people the reason why evil exists is because of a creature who was created who rebelled against his maker. And that if we do not make the right choices, we too may be found on the wrong side. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.